Welcome to BizArt, a podcast of the odd, the art and the rest. Any questions or comments, email bizartcast@gmail.com. That's BIZARTCAST @gmail.com. Right, I'm Madeleine Swan. I write weird and strange stories. And this is Stephen Waring.
Hello.
And you can find his weird brain at Cosmic Arts Limited. It's Stephen's Christmas Art Jollies. Boo, 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 boo.
Yeah, you've changed the lyrics a little bit, but it's pretty
I have.
Much,
I've inserted the seasonal, because it's our Christmas special.
It is. Episode. I'm sitting here in my pants.
He's just come round mine and stripped it onto his pants.
It's very hot in here. Maddie's in bed poorly.
The boys are out of the barracks. I'm afraid.
They're not completely out of the barracks, thank God.
They were enough to disturb me, let's just say that.
Well, Maddie said it would probably be a good idea if I did a freaky Christmas art feature, or just an unusual kind of Christmas art feature. I actually didn't find that much, although my research methods aren't quite as good as Maddie's, because she's got a journalism degree.
I just didn't do it 5 minutes before the podcast was about to begin. I think that's the subtle difference there.
Yeah, well, you know, you're trained.
I'm trained to look a couple of hours before doing a podcast, yes.
She's a natural. I found this thing where The Guardian basically were doing a feature on a bunch of artists who did versions of the mother and child, the, what do you call it, the
nativity scene.
And, on the Guardian website, you'll see a 2009 feature where you'll see John Squire. I'm not sure if that's John Squire from the Stone Roses, but...
I thought it was Squirty.
Squirty John. Yeah.
Squirty John's nativity show.
Well, maybe Skirty John. Skirty? Maybe Skirty John. Who knows? He did a picture which was like basically a cardboard box cut in half, like a big cardboard box with fragile tape on it, and it's got a couple of kids, sort of their heads poking through where their heads have been cut out, and it's like a mother and child. It's very silly.
Drawing underneath it, yeah, of two bodies.
Like one of those seaside things that you put your head through and people take a photo of one of them.
It's like, you said it was like something that you and I would do.
It is. It's the sort of thing that we would come up with. So if you want to check that out, just type nativity scene.
It's the best one, isn't it?
Into the Guardian website. It is the best one on there. I mean, there's a few others that are decent.
That's just reminded me. There's one where three security guards are looking at a cot or something. They're protecting a cot. The jackets just reminded me of a little Christmas story I have, where Mum and I were coming back at night during Christmas, and she almost ran over a police officer. He was standing in the middle of the road in one of those luminous jackets, and he actually was waving at her to kind of stop, I think, if I remember rightly. And she almost just ploughed straight into him, and he was so surprised that he just kind of stood aside and let her go. And there were no repercussions, so the moral of the story is... do whatever you want, I think.
I'm glad there weren't any repercussions. She can be quite tough, your mum.
My mum? I don't think so. That's a little Christmas message for you.
Yeah, this is a scene by Mark Wallinger, which is... it's like a crib in what looks like... it's St Martin's in the Fields, Trafalgar Square, and there's three security guards guarding it. So you can
like
draw your own...
three wise men or something.
Comparisons, yeah. This one's quite good. Fiona Banner, she's done basically two blobs, but one's a little blob, one's a big blob. So it's kind of like your ancient mother fertility kind of thing there.
Like a cave thing or something, I don't know, like symbols.
Yeah, and the one at the bottom's quite good. It's a partridge and its little offspring.
Aha!
Yeah, it seems to be running...
A running theme.
Running partridge theme, yeah.
It's quite a nice picture of the birds, pleasant.
Yeah, so looked at that and thought, yeah, okay, this is some modern art with a kind of a Christmas theme. But I came to the conclusion, really, that there's nothing more freaky than your religious icons from the past, nativity. It's like this one by de la Tour, 1644, where you've got the Christ who looks like a little porcelain doll, and you've got quite a realistic picture of depiction of people around him. But I mean, I find these master works freakier than a lot of the modern art covering a similar theme. There's a Caravaggio which is ultra realistic, and that's really ushering in the modern age, isn't it? But I mean, if you go back before, oh, there's another one there by Gerton Sint-Jans, where
Steve is currently reading his section off the
I'm
computer.
re yeah, this you know, I'm cutting edge. I do everything
Last minute,
last minute.
or as it happens. It's up to date journalism with you, isn't it, Steve?
Oh yeah, it's like Fox News,
Yeah, it is.
just as lowbrow, really, isn't it? But yeah, again, here you've got like a really weird-looking man, child, baby,
It's
Christ.
like a wizened corpse.
It's just freaky, yeah. But I mean, obviously they're trying to depict that he's got wisdom, even though he's a baby. So they've kind of done him like a little man, which is very. But I mean, the one we really liked was a Botticelli, which kind of was reminiscent of your Fellini. You know, I think Fellini and probably got a lot of influence from Botticelli's works, where it's kind of. You know, he's given obviously given a brief like by the church or whatever to do this mural or amazing painting, and he's just gone to town. He would be like a stage choreographer now or
Yeah,
something
it's
like
like the
that.
Busby Berkeley musical or something, where all the ladies are kind of dancing in formation to make a shape or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what you said earlier when we were watching. You were watching a documentary when I
Yes.
came in, weren't you?
Yeah.
On
About pre-code Hollywood, yeah.
Pre-Code Hollywood, yeah. So yeah, similar feel. So yeah, the Botticelli. You know, it's amazing what he got away with under the constraints that he was in at the time. You know, so yeah, very interesting. So I thought, well, this will be good for a good idea for me to do a nativity scene or Madonna and Child scene of my own, so I'm going to do that over the next few days and see what I can come up with.
You could do a picture of you squishing next door's cat like you like to do.
Yeah.
It's out of love. He's like you're like the Yeti from that Warner Brothers cartoon. I
Yeah.
love him and hug him and call him George.
Get a like a crown of thorns, make a crown of thorns, and stick it on his
Stick it on
head.
the cat, yeah.
The RSPCA come knocking.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the plan for the next. That's my Christmas
And
arty
send us
plan.
your nativity scenes as well. You can do it however you like. I don't know, Lego, crayon, whatever you want, and send it to the email.
You can make it out of your own poo if you like. You can
Yeah,
smear some
if
poo
you're that
around.
way inclined, send us the pictures. We'll put it
Well,
on the
don't actually
blog.
send us the
Don't
smeared
send us
poo
the
pictures.
poo.
No.
Send us a photo of the
Of the
boys are
poo.
out of the barracks again, Steve.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. It's baking in here. You wouldn't believe how hot it is.
It's really not that bad. You're
Oh.
having some sort of menopausal moment.
Maybe I am. Right? It's that time.
Send us photographs of your pictures. We'd love to see them. Okay, I think it's my turn. It's Maddie's Creative Curiosities. Maddie's Creative Curiosities. Okay, it's a bit America heavy this episode. I'm afraid we'll try and sort that out next time, I promise. But there is an exhibition in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, called My Sister's Doll. Basically, the father of the gallery owner, years and years ago, gave the doll that belonged to his sister, that's the gallery owner, his sister, gave her doll away to their less privileged cousins at Christmas, resulting in her being really upset and her brother, the gallery owner, making her a new one out of toilet rolls. So anyway, that was 50 years ago, and now he's asked 50 artists to make dolls for his sister. One made a book exploring the meaning of the word doll. And are you making weird faces to yourself? I could just see you out of the corner of my eye.
I was reenacting what you were saying, like the.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, it's interactive art there. Okay. Anyway, and another one made a doll that looks and talks just like her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that that has happened in horror films, actually. Do you remember? Do you remember in the news a little while ago there was a woman in, I can't remember where it was, but she was making dolls for children in the local area, and leaving them on their doorstep like overnight. And the parents called the police, and the police basically had to issue a statement saying, "Well, she was just trying to be nice." You know, it's kind of, how do you feel if you opened your door in the morning and saw a doll that looked exactly like you? Would you think that was scary?
I would think one of my arty, freaky friends probably, or Bill, probably did it.
Is he not arty or freaky?
He's all of those and none of those things simultaneously. He's like the Twilight Zone of art.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't think someone like that did it, so it probably wouldn't faze me, but if I imagine if you weren't moving in freaky circles.
Yeah, I suppose if it's completely out of context, I could probably understand why it might be a bit scary. I don't know, I feel quite sorry for the woman, because she's obviously got like a communication problem or some sort of issue there, I think. So she probably just wanted to be friendly and didn't really know how else to do it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's like The Leftovers, isn't it? The series The Leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
We won't go into too much detail.
I don't want to give too much away in case you didn't watch the first series of The Leftovers, but there's a bit involving model making, which was very Twilight Zone.
And we're not talking about Airfix. Kids getting high in Airfix.
No. Is that what you used to do? Did you used to do that? Get high on Airfix?
I probably did, but didn't realise. I just was getting high and didn't know,
part of the course. It probably accounts for quite a lot.
Yeah, it's the old Lenny Bruce airplane glue sketch.
Remember that? I remember, yes. Moving on. A collective called Improv Everywhere surprised five families in New Jersey by staging an elaborate carol singing performance, which included a 20-person brass orchestra, a 13-member choir, people in Victorian and Santa dress, one Santa throwing fake snow. Although I must say, I looked into it and it wasn't quite a total surprise. The families had actually turned up to a rented house. The collective had rented this house. And thinking that they were going to have a picture taken of the family for Christmas. And they'd been told to answer the door if it rang, in case another family had turned up to have their pictures taken, where they were treated to this nice surprise, which I thought was quite good. If you want to follow more of the antics of Improv Everywhere, look on improveverywhere.com.
.com. Ba-da-ba-dum.
Yes, it's Freaky Film Club.
Freaky
Film Club, they're freaky in your face. I chose Wisconsin Death Trip because I thought it was quite wintry, so that's kind of following a Christmas theme in a way. Basically, it's was taken from, there was a book that came out in the 70s of the same name, which was news clippings and photographs of a small town called Black River Falls in Wisconsin. And I think it dates from 1890 to 1900 or around about there.
Yeah.
All stories from that era. Basically, they have long, hard winters and it makes people do some very strange things. So it's all genuine news stories. It's not documentary though. It's readings of the news stories with pleasant reenactments. Not pleasant as in
It's very beautifully made.
It's very beautifully made, but it's not reenactments like those awful murder programs where you've got couple acting, "I'm going to murder you in, you bloody cow."
Yeah, this whole depiction of a murderer being like, I mean, murderers are people, you know, they go and do shopping and go to work and all the general chores, you know, they're not walking around like some pantomime villain.
Like that one that we watched here where, I can just imagine, you know, you can just imagine that.
Oh, yeah.
Bill said, he's one of the contributors. He said, you can just imagine them being told by the camera, you know, the director in that, what they have to do in order to do this reenactment. Like, lean over her a bit more. Look like you're, you know, tap your fingertips together and go, ha ha ha.
Yeah. Be a bit more serial killer like.
Yes, you look too normal.
Yeah, very good. I thought it was a very good documentary. It is a documentary, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's kind of... I mean, it's all true.
Yeah.
They're genuine news stories, but I wouldn't call it a documentary in the sense that it's literally readings of the news stories.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's quite beautiful and interesting and melancholy.
Yeah, very melancholy, but I mean, in a beautiful way. Yeah, a lot of people who settled in that area of Wisconsin come from Northern Europe, don't they? From Norway and Germany. And that. So I guess they probably thought they were starting a fresh life in a kind of familiar environment.
Mm. Weather-wise.
Weather-wise. But, I mean, they were ripped off, weren't they?
It sounds like they were kind of told pieces of land that they bought were much better than they actually were, and then they turned up and they were... Like, there was that opera singer as well, who was quite a famous opera singer, and then she was sold land there and turned up and it wasn't what...
She's from Paris, wasn't she?
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, but it wasn't quite what she expected, and she'd fallen on hard times... I think she was eating cattle feed or something like that, wasn't she?
She was, yeah. She'd been sold this place in the middle of nowhere as a kind of like a idyllic retirement home in the mountains sort of thing, and it was, you know, she got out there and it was quite a harsh environment.
Yeah,
so.
A patch of mud or something like snow and but apparently she would give concerts where her voice wasn't quite what it was, but she had false teeth, and apparently during the performances, you could mainly hear her false teeth rattling, which was quite interesting.
Very good, very good. Arena's a great documentary series. They still make them every now and again, don't they?
Yeah, Arena. I think I've seen some.
Yes, thumbs up there. It's a
hit. It's a hit. It passes the thumbs up test.
It certainly does.
Yes. Okay. It's story time. As it's Christmas as well. Before I read the story, I've been watching a series called Krakenori, which is quite enjoyable. It's done like a series that was on when we were very young called Jackenori, which was for children, but this is for grown-ups. So it's kind of had people write stories like Jeremy Dyson, who was a member of the League of Gentlemen, and Kevin Eldon, who is like a comedy.
You've seen him in a million different things over the years.
Yeah. What's one?
he was in Jam, wasn't he?
Jam, yeah, Chris Morris's Jam. Well, you get the idea just from that, really. That sort of thing. Big
Jam.
Train. Yes. So anyway, I recommend that.
Yeah.
Along the theme of stories. Okay, this is a story by Michael Thomas Knight, and his website is parlorofhorror.wordpress.com. So do visit there and see his other creatives. This story is called The Station. I assumed ghosts and spirits had taken over the station. Humanly figures moved about with a dreamlike quality. Last night, sleep had consumed me and I missed the last train to Albany. When I awoke, the morning sun blazed brightly through the windows of Buffalo Central Terminal. My co-workers had left me behind, not notifying me of the departing train. We all attended the seminar on insurance algorithms together. We had been discussing it last night, although much of its content was beyond me. You'd think they would have awakened me and said, "Jimmy, the train is here." Upon closer inspection of the persons in the terminal, I realised they were not ghosts. They were quite alive, but moved unnaturally. I walked up to the woman with the purple knit beret and fur collar wool coat as she paged through a magazine. She wore leather baby ankle high boots, which were very popular these days. I waved my hand in front of her face. She could not see me. Her chest rose and fell with calm breaths. I leaned in closer to feel the warm air from her nostrils and smell the fragrance of lavender upon her neck. When she moved, she became a blur. She took no notice of me at all. I looked around. The terminal buzzed with commuters running for trains and waiting for departures with iPhone earbuds in their ears and laptops in tow. The faster they moved, the more blurred they became. I knew I was not dead. I had sustained no injuries. I had had no run-in with thugs the previous night. Somehow, I had fallen out of time. I could not keep up with the advances at work. I could not keep up with the hustle and bustle of this modern world any longer. I had slipped out of sync with everything.
He's out of sync with everyone around him. You have been listening to Bizarre, a podcast of the odd, and the rest. Any questions or comments, email bizarrecast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.